Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignments from over the weekend. So we just started a new focus, receiving. So read and record the write-up for this month's focus. As you listen to the recording, look to see how you would like to work with the process focus this month. Jot that down. Example, I want to explore why I can't receive someone's caring as concern for me and instead see it as interference in my life. On Saturday, for the next 24 hours, get as comprehensive a picture as you can of what you hear in your head about the focus you've chosen. As you go about your day, keep your focus in awareness. Notice and jot down what the voices say. And then on Sunday, notice how much of the conversation in your head is in support of unexamined beliefs and assumptions. Assignment. Review the statements from the voices that you jotted down. What beliefs and assumptions are revealed? A belief or assumption could be revealed by a single statement or collection of statements. Write down the beliefs and assumptions. RL what you see. Example. Voices. Does he think I don't know how to plan for my future? Belief, an expression of concern, implies a lack of confidence in my ability. All right, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Bob in San Francisco.
Hello, Bob. What are you seeing?
A lot, actually. I've been looking at it kind of very broadly. This so far, rather than kind of very specific content. So what I saw initially when I was looking at this is like essentially that was the process, the broader process going on always seems to be is to block receiving life.
Uh-huh.
And so like, you know, if an opportunity or a new thing presents itself or, you know, someone gives me a compliment or says good job or whatever it is, that if I let that in, that conditioning loses control.
Mm-hmm. It does, doesn't it?
and so, you know, when I've it almost seems to be like, you ever heard that there's like an economic term, you know, opportunity cost. If I make this choice, then I give up all these other choices, you know, by default. And it seems like if I let in life and if I let in just being here and attending to what's here, you know, for conditioning, it's the threat that it can't stay in control of, well, me.
Mm-hmm. Which you can see clearly is exactly so.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. Right? Right, because life is far more, if we just go with complementary, life is far more complementary, generous, kind, giving, than ego. And so how much of that can a person be open to without ego's claims being viewed as utterly absurd?
Right, right. And it seems like the cost to this person is that when I'm off in essentially a fantasy, you know, if I look at like receiving a compliment, right, well, the threat that what I hear from conditioning is, well, you know, if you're receiving that compliment, you're essentially not staying with, you know, being motivated, say,
what's
by
wrong
fear.
With you?
Yeah, what's wrong with me? But like, it's essentially, it's a fantasy, you know, it's like my energy is taken up, absorbed in responding to it essentially as a fantasy rather than life.
Exactly, Bob. Exactly. Yes. And just the way you laid it out, if attention is going to life, there's no attention left over for ego.
Right.
And so those messages that ego thrives on are not going to be attended to. And it dies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so, yes, this is so really helpful just to, because, you know, the more I look at this, the more I just see all the ways that conditioning, you know, stops me from just, you know, attending to what's here because it's, you know,
because
it's just
ego
always.
Isn't.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right? Which is what it comes down to. You can't be here. If you're here, ego isn't. So ego says, no, 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 no. You are in grave danger. You're going to forget how inadequate you are. You're going to forget to be afraid. You're going to forget to look to conditioned mind for your actions. And, of course, when we lay it out the way you're seeing it, it's obvious that the only one that loses in that equation is ego.
Right.
And it's desperate. It's desperate.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's my experience. All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
So, Bob, just because that's so clear, I want to say one other very obvious thing, my specialty, you know, saying the obvious thing. And that is that what you're demonstrating is the importance of dropping the conversation, of redirecting the attention, right? Because now you're onto it. You know what it's doing, and all it's going to do is escalate. So it's just going to up its game as much as it can. So that's the point at which we practice not getting involved at all. You know what it's doing. You know what it says. You know how it feels in your body. Okay? And so as soon as you get any of those signals, you just drop it and come back to what you choose instead. And, of course, it's always good to have something to choose instead, right? I choose presence. I choose being here. I choose unconditional love. I choose whatever it is that grounds you into this here now and not that.
Yeah, and I appreciate all that because I saw that just in the kind of meta process of doing these assignments over the weekend, and that, like, mm-hmm. you know, I kind of recorded them, and then sat with them, and then what arose was what arose, and initially conditioning says, well, that's not right, or, mm-hmm. or let's go do something else, or, you know, this is really what you should be focused on, and just what you said, it's like, well, what I'm supported in is just like, just dropping that, come back here, dropping that, come back here, because there's nothing to be gained
yes.
in staying in that conversation for me.
That's right. That's right. So if you're in the gym, remember those days when we used to be able to go to the gym? Maybe you're lifting weights at home, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're in a conversation that says, oh, my God, that's so heavy. I can't do that. That's ridiculous. This is why, I mean, why am I? Okay, you can feel yourself getting weaker and weaker with every sentence that goes through, right? But if you stay in a conversation of this is what I'm choosing to be present with this experience, I'm choosing to be here now in this, then it has no ability to make you weak.
Yeah.
Mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. I was just looking at the word attention, right, Sherry? Attention is the mechanism by which we are attuned to life or attuned to conditioning.
Yes.
And so
yes.
I think that's what Bob was pointing to, that as long as attention is on ego, then we're staying in a lack of. And as soon as the
yes.
attention turns to and gets tuned to being present, then we're receiving all of life. And it's
yes.
as basic as that.
It is as basic, as simple as that, and it's only when it's laid out so clearly the way you just laid it out that we can get what we're up against.
Mm-hmm.
Because for a lifetime, we've been listening, we've been attending to those ego voices. So it's not just going to say, okay, I give, uncle. We're going to have to practice moment by moment by moment by moment by moment by moment, and it's so rewarding.
It is. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey there, this is Tom from San Jose.
Hello, Tom. What are you seeing?
Oh, boy, so much in this. what I'm going through right now is I kind of having some difficulties with my body, with some immobility and some pain. And I feel like I'm being at the bottom of a waterfall, just being pelted by all these things. And, you know, just realizing that, you know, I don't take being sick very well. I don't take something going wrong with my body very well. I don't want to take time off of work. Because I feel like I'm always under a microscope when I take time off of work, you know, probably by ego more than anyone else. But
although apparently now the technology is quite popular that will keep you under a microscope when you are not at work.
Yes, exactly. So it's pain. You know, pain is really, really hard. And, and around Mother's Day, there was also pain around that because, you know, having a childhood that ego loves to bring out and use against me, Mother's Day is that kind of a day. And, you know, in the focus of the session, just the idea of, do you concentrate on the bad stuff instead of the good stuff? And, well, yes, mm-hmm. I do. I absolutely do. And sometimes
ego absolutely does.
That's right. Ego absolutely does. And ego feels absolutely justified in that.
Cares, Tom. We do know that. Ego doesn't care. It's just that you'll suffer over that. So what occurs to me with the physical pain, of course, is the old car analogy, right? A person gets a brand new car and they're just so enjoying that brand new car. They just drive it around everywhere and just love it for a little while, and then they forget all about it, right? Mm-hmm. It's just the thing that you get in to go where you want to go. It's just a vehicle, for God's sake. It's getting dents and bumps and scratches, and it's just a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way almost everybody is with their body. And then after a while, of course, if you never change the oil in your car and you never, right, it's going to have problems.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, what ego trains us to do is be resentful. Well, why is this happening? Why is this happening? Right? Well, the why it's happening is because I've been ignoring this forever.
Uh-huh.
And now the tab has come due.
Mm-hmm.
Does that fit?
It does to a large degree. You know, I had the same condition about 2 weeks ago. It lasted about a week of just this terrible pain. And I got through it kind of by gritting my teeth and listening to ego. And then I was fine for a week, and then it came back. And so, you know, I feel like I don't want to admit it, but I feel like I'm getting a second opportunity to do it in a different way. And
right.
I don't want to look
receive,
at this kind of...
To receive the gift.
Yes.
To receive the gift. Yeah? Because that's it. I mean, you know, you've probably heard me say this since we've known each other a long time, but my father is one of the key figures in my life. I am so grateful to that man because he was everything I never wanted to be.
Uh-huh.
Right? And so just the simple look at how you are with children compared to how your mother was with you.
Mm-hmm.
Did you learn a good, important lesson from her?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. She was a tremendous teacher, wasn't she?
Yes.
You learned exactly how you did not want to be.
Mm-hmm.
What a gift.
Yes, yes.
And these are difficult gifts to receive, as Bob was pointing us at, mostly because ego is getting so much mileage out of the suffering that giving it up is not something it's going to be happy with.
Yes, yes, that is exactly what I'm experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I feel overwhelmed.
Well, you're not alone in it. You're not alone in it. There is that, okay? Yes, overwhelmed. And what you have is practice.
Mm-hmm.
So you come back to the moment and what's there, what drops in. Not the ego voices, but what drops in from your heart, from presence? Yeah, you're listening for that still small voice the ego has talked you into ignoring before. Now you're listening to the wisdom, love, and compassion that animates you to guide you through this.
Yeah, and something that set me, I feel like set me up to question and to challenge ego was I recorded the focus of the month and just have been listening to it back to back to back to back all morning. And I feel like that's one of the things that's really set me on the right path, gotten me yes. reset is how I feel about it.
That's right. Yes, yes. And Tom, the pain, the body issues might not go away in a week.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean you can't turn it around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I will remember that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, keep us surprised.
I will do that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Tom. Sherry, there's so much in that conversation, but the one I keyed off of was how much our best teachers are what we've always avoided, and therefore to develop a receptivity to what is difficult or adversity as a way to receive what we won't receive otherwise.
Yeah.
It's such a tremendous practice. Because I don't know if this is your experience, but it's been certainly... Go ahead.
No, finish.
Oh, well, that's certainly my experience that life, it's actually such a compassionate... Life is such a compassionate teacher, and tough love is what it excels in. Because it will never hesitate to throw down the gauntlet and challenge us where we don't want to be challenged.
Yes, yes. It will not, that unconditional love will not allow us to suffer unless we really, really, really want to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is what you're pointing at, right? We are constantly offered an opportunity to face what ego has been talking us into trying to avoid so that we could stay with a suffering relationship with ego. Mm-hmm. So at whatever point we want to change relationships, all the help, all the support is right there for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we have to, you know, we get to develop the receptors to see support where we've not seen it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Because with Tom, you know, severe pain in your body does not, we are not trained to think of that as support.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But once we stop to consider it, it's like, well, what else was going to get me to pay attention?
Mm-hmm. Right. And then I seek all the ways in which I can support myself once I accept my situation. I look for the support, not look for the avoidance or the resistance or think about what's wrong with this situation. I start to receive what would assist me to have a different relationship with it, right?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Mira in Seattle.
Hi there.
Hi.
What you seeing?
Well, listening has turned everything that I was going to say on its head, and so I'm not really sure. I can see how what I think I'm seeing is how all the emotional anguish about not being able to receive is the thing that is becoming available to learn from.
Yes, exactly so. So the emotion, so the subject is receiving,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, again, you are in danger of receiving, which is not something that egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate wants you to do. And so it just gets you to focus on an emotional reaction to, you can't receive. Oh my God, the suffering.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you're just safely removed from the possibility of receiving. But you saw it.
Yeah, I'm a little speechless right now. Last session on control was the first month that I finished in the last 2 years, and so
congratulations.
Yeah,
practice
yeah.
works.
Practice works, mm-hmm. and there was one place where I had to do a little bit of oomphing to get over the hump, but once I got over the hump, it was there, where before it all felt so difficult. And mm-hmm. so I can see that there's a way of receiving there, and I see that the focus on beginning and the focus on control it both like prepares and supports looking at mm-hmm. receiving, and mm-hmm. Yeah, and I can't believe I'm teary.
Okay, okay. So let me just give you one more thing that you probably already know, but I'm going to say it anyway. Okay, emotional anguish is always ego. It is a specialized reaction that is designed to just toss a human being into its world, right? So a simple little practice that can turn that around is, let me ask you this. Do you have a good life?
Yeah, except for the voices in my head, the answer is yes.
That's exactly right. So you have a nice roof over your head. You have enough to eat. You have, mm-hmm. You have everything that you need. In fact, you live in a really pretty place.
Yes,
yeah?
I do.
And so, and so everything is good. Everything is good. But you must be made to turn all of your attention to a bogus story inside your head so that you'll have an emotional reaction, which you're trained to do, so that you will believe that there's something wrong. And you will give your life to ego. That's the whole game. Okay? So, once again, just realizing that, we drop it. We turn our attention to, wait a minute, what's really true in this moment? What is really true in this moment? Let's just start looking around. Look around for what's beautiful, for what you like, for what you love, for what you're happy about, for what you're grateful for what you enjoy. Focus your attention on that. Ego's out of business.
Mm-hmm.
Get back in the conversation, and you're miserable. So don't do it. if you have somebody in your life that every time you talk to them you get miserable, stop talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. All
Very
right, Sherry.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Mira. Sherry, what I was looking at when you said that is, it's such a con. We talk about it all the time. Here I am in the present receiving life, and the only way that I'm stopped from doing that is to be told a story that I cannot receive. And I project that the reason why looking at beauty or being present and focusing attention on so many things stops us from registering our receptivity is because we're told that has to feel a certain way, and it doesn't.
Yes.
And we look to conditioned mind to say, am I feeling the way I'm supposed to feel? And the answer is no.
Yeah.
And so now I can go back to the anguish of not receiving. Because receptivity is defined by ego, not by life, right?
Yep. And it reminds me of whoever that guy was who taught his children, say thank you until you mean it. That, I mean, the entire secret to life is captured in that sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Say thank you until you mean it. And all he was teaching them to do is get your attention off of ego and turn it to life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Without ever having to go through a deep spiritual explanation. Yeah.
All right. It looks like we have time for one more caller. Sherry, so here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Kate.
Hello, Kate. What are you seeing?
I'm seeing that I am always directed by ego to see the lack around my abilities as a musician and a guitar player. Like, I never see the... I'm always focusing on that. I'm busy focusing on that.
Because Kate, is ego a really good guitar player? Is it a guitar master or a teacher? Or, I mean, Juilliard, where did it get its degree? Which orchestras has it? How many records has it? Sold in the millions?
Yeah, millions. Millions.
Uh-huh.
International,
but you would
superstar.
Think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would think so, wouldn't you? Listening to that
mm-hmm.
voice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When actually it knows nothing about anything except you really care about your
right.
craft. And so you'll suffer over it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it just keeps me and that focusing on the lack then keeps me busy looking for the thing to put into the lack.
That's
which
right.
is never presence.
That's right.
It's always
yeah.
like another teacher or another technique or another book or another way.
That's right. Something to take you out of the only place that music happens.
Yeah, mic drop right there.
Isn't that something to see? It, you know, as little respect as we have for it, we really do need to admire the utter deviousness mm-hmm. of the approach to get us to focus on something. And people do it all the time. I mean, I've worked, of course, with thousands and thousands of people who decide they're going to meditate, and then they've got the meditation teacher in their head. They've got the practice expert, right? Zen master, yeah, Zen master ego, who's just going to now tell them everything that they're doing wrong constantly. And mm-hmm. and so whatever the content is, that process is going on, and people fall for it. Everybody buys it.
Yeah.
Something, huh? You don't have to, though.
No. Nope.
You can just play music for it.
Right.
Right, and when it starts in, just pick up your guitar and play it a tune.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Commenting on how beautiful that is. What you appreciate most about it? The subtleties, the nuances, that sound that you have to be completely here in order to hear.
Mm-hmm. So great to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Kate.
Thank you.
Have fun.
Yep. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Kate and Sherry. That brings us to the end of the show. Here's our assignment. Before a fair amount of introspection reveals something different, we believe that we are a single, unified entity. I'm me. I am me. I think my thoughts and feel my feelings. Upon closer examination, we begin to notice that there is more than just one I making up me. Assignment: review the conversation you jotted down about this issue and begin to identify the various I's having the conversation. One way to do this is to group similar statements. Find a word or phrase that describes each I. It's likely to be a quality or characteristic. RL what you see. Example. Private. Why does he keep asking about my finances? How is it his business how much money I have? Suspicious. He's not concerned about me. He just likes having information. Feeling unloved. If he's concerned about my well-being, why can't he say that? Why does he have to quiz me on money? If he really loved me, he would work out how to relate to me. Why do I always have to relate to him on his terms? resigned. I suppose I should be grateful for any expression of interest. Rebel, I don't want to offend him, but I'm not going to answer his questions. Accommodating, why can't you be more accommodating? Just give him this time.
What a happy crew, huh?
What a happy crew.
All right. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Go happy.
Go happy.